You are listening to the Mother of All Talk Shows podcast with George Galloway.
I'm sorry we didn't get him last week, but we're very, very honoured to have the great Roger Waters with us now. Roger, welcome to the Mother of All Talk Shows. We have at least two mutual friends in common, and I'd like to speak about both of them. But first up has to be Stephen Donziger, who, as I explained at the beginning of the show, although regular viewers and listeners already know this because Stephen has been on the show several times, this has all been done to him by a private company. No state legal process has been present in this at all. And yet our friend, Stephen, is this evening, I presume, unless he's appealing and still at large, behind bars in a prison. Explain, if you would, how such a thing could possibly happen.
Well, he's not. It's good to see you, George.
And you're
right. He's not behind bars in a prison. At the very end of the proceedings on Monday, which I attended, the defence were given 1 week to make a bail. I think it's a bail appeal again, but I'm not entirely clear because, anyway, suffice it to say, there is one more week in order for his team to make arguments, which they will, and they will be cogent and they will be correct and they will be germane to his predicament, and they will make no difference to Judge Preska because she doesn't respond to anything but the advice and orders of her paymasters, who are Chevron Corporation.
Well, there's a remarkable series of conflicts of interest, as indeed there are in the Assange case, in this whole affair. But just to summarize, Chevron were ordered to pay billions of dollars to the victims of their human and environmental damage in Ecuador. They refused to pay it, haven't paid a penny, and instead have managed to have the lawyer for the victims of Chevron imprisoned, first at home and, unless we're lucky, in the next week, in a prison.
Yeah. And they did it by finding a tame judge on the Southern Circuit of New York Southern Circuit, Judge Louis A. Kaplan, back in 2012. And then they hired a defrocked, crooked judge from Ecuador to give evidence against Stephen Donziger and suggest that he had been responsible for fraudulently obtaining the judgment against Chevron, which was $9.5 billion, as you rightly point out. It's probably about $12 billion now, with penalties and interest and so on and so forth. And this man, Guerra, who has since recanted his testimony to the civil RICO trial that happened back in 2013, based entirely upon Guerra's evidence, Stephen was found guilty of being a racketeer, and which, of course, he isn't. He's a human rights lawyer. He has been ever since he left Harvard Law School 23 years ago. And he's been fighting this fight almost that entire time on behalf of 30,000 indigenous rainforest dwellers in Ecuador, whom I have visited with him in Ecuador a few years ago. So the whole thing is completely trumped up and iniquitous. And you're completely correct in saying that the district attorney, the U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York refused to prosecute him on the recent charade, which was a contempt of court case, where he was held in contempt because he refused to hand over his laptop computer and his iPhone to Chevron Corporation on the grounds that it contravened client privilege with 30,000 poor Ecuadorian people who still need his help. And they had him disbarred, even though when the disbarment went to a referee, he's called John Horn, and John Horan, and he was the referee. His recommendation after a three-day hearing in New York City was that Stephen Donziger's license to practice law should be immediately returned to him, and the whole thing should be struck from his record because, in his opinion, the referee, Donziger, was innocent of any wrongdoing. So there we go.
Joseph Heller, Catch-22 couldn't encapsulate that story. If Kafka himself could not do so. Here is the lawyer for the people whose lives were ruined, who were granted almost $10 billion in compensation from an oil company. And that oil company has managed to get the lawyer for the 30,000 people locked up. Not in Ecuador, no disrespect intended to Ecuador, but in the United States. Now, in a sane world, Chevron's name would be mud, its share price crashing, and every liberal and progressive, the New York Times would be running this on their front page. It would be pussy hat heaven. All the liberals would be out on the streets. Where are they?
Let's not accuse the New York Times of being either liberal or progressive, George, or they'll think this is a comedy show. You know, obviously they're not. They labour under the yoke of the ruling class and the powers that be and the status quo and all of that. But it is interesting that this is becoming more and more visible, and support for Stephen Donziger all over the world is growing hand over fist. So how long the US Department of Justice and the US judiciary in general will be able to handle the embarrassment of Louis A. Kaplan and Loretta Preska, who are federal judges in the Southern District of New York. The embarrassment of them being who and what they are, I don't know, but I hope for not much longer. And certainly the rumblings are beginning to be just discernible in the DOJ. So we may see some movement. This story is not over. My great hope, it's not my belief, because they are so entrenched, these corrupt officials, and they have such enormous power. Do you know, if you're appointed as a federal judge, you can never be removed, is the law of the United States. It doesn't matter what you do, it's for life. Well, which is a strange thing for an appointee. This is not an elected. Nobody is elected to sit on the federal bench. So anyway.
Well, let's segue to another bench closer to home. Julian Assange has been through a process, although more judicial on the face of it, no less Kafkaesque than Stephen. And he is facing not 6 months in jail, but the rest of his life. In fact, four lifetimes, 145 years in a Guantanamo super prison in Colorado. And yet the same, not the New York Times, but if you like, their British equivalents still appear to be entirely unmoved by it.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, isn't it? Are we living in great times, George, where we, the people, get to notice that what we're looking at is a house of cards, and that every single one of those cards that builds that flimsy pyramid that we call the powers that be or the status quo or our governments is beginning to bend and buckle, and it's becoming more and more obvious to more and more of us that the emperor has no clothes, that this system that we live under, capitalist system in the West, makes no sense, i.e. a world where we take no notice of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights from Paris in 1948 or from 1789 in Paris. We pay lip service to it, but we don't act upon it at all, or certainly our governments don't. And I think we, the people, are beginning to say, whoa, hold on a minute, this just is wrong, you know? And so the worm is turning, if I may refer to myself as a worm. And we will have our way at the end of the day. Now, whether we do it in time to save Steve and his 6 months of stir, and to save Julian Assange's life, because that's what they're doing. They're trying to impose a death sentence on our friend Julian, one of the great heroes of our time, one of the very few very, very truthful, honest, and brilliant publishers and journalists that we have. He is our fourth estate. He is the check and balance against the malfeasance of errant authority. Julian Assange embodies it. And yet they've managed to get large numbers of the general public, as well as themselves, to wrinkle their noses by smearing him with terrible slanders about his sex life or his personal cleanliness or whatever it might be. Julian Assange is a great hero, and we must build statues to him.
Indeed.
Not just free him.
But honour him. He's a world historic figure. I agree entirely with that. But here's an irony. The liberal press, including the New York Times and The Guardian and others around the world, are this evening running their presses, if presses still run, I don't know, exposing the horrific, obscene levels of wealth and corruption in the Pandora's box revelations. Some of the mightiest figures in the land, in the world, are revealed to be even more rotten than we already thought that they were. This information has been leaked to these newspapers in the way that information even more important about war crimes and the rest were leaked to WikiLeaks. They have been published by these great newspapers as they were published by WikiLeaks. Yet the publisher of WikiLeaks faces 145 years, and the publishers of the Pandora's box will be looking to receive journalistic awards at the end of this year. How do we square this?
Pulitzer Prizes for the lot of them, obviously. Well, you know, they've come back into line in Julian's case. They've gone, whoa, maybe if we do exactly as we're told from now, i.e. if we never publish a word about Julian Assange and how appallingly badly, or voice the opinion that this is a total travesty of justice or what, maybe that we can go on doing what it is that we do, which is to serve them. So they are servants of the rich and powerful, all of them. I make no bones about calling the Manchester Guardian that as well. Having been looking at that paper since I was a wee lad, you know. So how do you explain the paradox? The whole thing is upside down. We're living in Alice's Wonderland. We're down the rabbit hole. Nothing makes any sense. It gets curiouser and curiouser. But what can we do about it? We can do what you're doing and what I try and do as well, is we shout about it, stand on the rooftops and shout as loud as we can and call them the crooked arseholes that they are, our leaders, that they won't stand up and do what is right. You know, I've often told this story about people say, how did you develop these opinions? My mother, when I was 13 years old, struggling with something or other, she sat me down and she said, you know, Roger, through your whole life, you're going to be faced with difficult decisions to make about complex problems and whatever. My advice to you is study whatever it may be from all sides that you can. Just before I came here and got on the Zoom link with you, I was reading as much as I could about the Pandora revelations, which are coming out. I haven't got very far because it's thousands of pages, apparently. Anyway, my mother said to me, study it, listen to other opinions, really verse yourself in it. When you've done that, you've done all the heavy lifting. The end bit is the easiest thing in the world. And I went, well, what's that, Mum? And she said, do the right thing.
Well, you've certainly done that. Let's go. No,
but they don't. It wouldn't occur to them to do the right thing. The expedient thing point of view, which is to maintain power and blah, blah, blah. But they don't. They never do the right thing. So that's a big difference.
They are doing the right thing by their immoral selves. Now, you made the point that how long can the US justice system ignore this elephant in the room of a private oil company rampaging through their legal system? Isn't the same true now on the Biden administration in persisting with their appeal against the refusal to extradite Julian Assange? After all, talk about a case turning sour. In fact, foul, never mind sour. The top witnesses are discredited. The illegal spying activities that spied on me, no doubt you, spied on Julian 24/7, even in the toilet in the Ecuador embassy. The end user of that illegally obtained material, the spying on Julian's privileged conversations with his own lawyers about this very case that would be likely to come down the track. I mean, time does not allow me to adumbrate all the reasons why not only this case should be thrown out of court in England, but should be discontinued in Washington. Do you think there's any prospect of the Biden administration being so embarrassed by all this? After all, it was Donald Trump's work. Why not drop it?
Well, yes, I do believe that there is a possibility that that might happen, because these people are pragmatic, if nothing else. And certainly if Joe Biden or Joe Biden's advisors, or Merrick Garland, for instance, who's the Attorney General, as you know, in the United States now, if it suddenly dawned on them that maybe actually this might be to their advantage and that they could make some political hay out of it, or that it was getting so nasty, the smell was so disgusting, that it was going to leave a taste on them and harm their reputations, then they would. Would Joe Biden do this because it's the right thing to do? No. Joe Biden couldn't care less about the right thing or about human rights or anything else. He is a pragmatic professional politician. You only have to look at his record over the last 50 years. Don't forget, Joe Biden wrote the Patriot Act more or less single-handedly. And it failed to become part of their legislature or legislation until 9/11, when suddenly it was brought out of the closet and they dusted it. This thing young Biden wrote in 1994 or whenever it was. So, yeah, there is a chance, and I cling to the possibility that Biden will free us, will stop the extradition proceedings. Because if Biden drops the extradition proceedings, the British government won't be able to keep Julian Assange in prison any longer. They won't have a single prop to continue that disgusting fact, which it is now. He's been in prison for nearly 3 years, for God's sake, Belmarsh Prison. I know you know all this, but... So, yeah, I do believe that people like you and me and Julian Assange and Stephen Donziger and Craig Murray and all the rest of us can have some effect on them.
I agree. I look forward to...
Look what happened at the Labour Party conference last week, where Labour Party members turned round in England at their annual conference and produced this document where they advocate the applying of sanctions to the State of Israel on the grounds that it's apartheid. How can Keir Starmer not have resigned? I don't get any... I know I'm changing the subject.
No, but... you're not. You really are not. It was extraordinary. The Labour Party passed a policy which is illegal under the party's rules. It's illegal to call Israel an apartheid state. you get auto-expelled for it. Yet the Labour conference passed a resolution calling it just that. Well, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, and quacks like a duck, it's probably an apartheid duck. Thank you.
Probably is.
Thank you very much indeed, Roger Waters. Hats off
Thanks,
to you.
George.
You are one of the heroes of our age. Thank you for
Thank you for having me.
Downloads of the podcast, huge numbers are downloading this week's highlights in the UK and in the US, but also in countries like Japan, India, Denmark, Saudi Arabia, you probably get executed for that, Korea, Switzerland, the UAE, and Hong Kong in China. Thank you for all the great reviews you've been leaving on Apple Podcasts, and including this one. In British politics, Mr. Galloway stands as the last bastion of sense. Like a fine wine, he gets better with age. I have been a fan of his since 2002. I would recommend anyone to listen to him. The best podcast around. Thank you very much indeed. That was a touching testimony. Thank you so much. If you do listen, give a 5-star review. Why don't you?
You are listening to the Mother of All Talk Shows podcast with George Galloway.